Praise God, praise God, praise God. Welcome, everybody. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming and showing up today. For those who are going to listen to it on the internet, thank you for being here. We just pray that the Lord leads us and guides us in blessing you. Need to clarify a couple things. You've heard us talk a lot about financial situations over the last multiple months, and it's very simple that God uses money as a tool. And almost everybody I know is having financial challenges right now. Yeah, we can't be the blessed church if we can't be a blessing to people. And we have some challenging times coming ahead, and the more that we're ready for it, the better off we're going to be. Now, for example, money is something you can quantify. You can count and show how much you're doing with it. Okay, there's ways to qualify what you're doing and quantify it. And that's encouraging to a lot of people. There's an old movie from, at least the 60s, maybe the 50s, but the star says, you don't do business for fun, for money, you do it for fun. Money's just how you keep score. Okay? And the point is that if I can get you doing something to qualify, to improve your lives there and to bless other people with, and you'll see success in that area, it grows over into other areas like health. It's hard to quantify health, that somebody's feeling better. Now, I can quantify my weight loss, which is down about 50 pounds. That's great. But I really can't quantify how much healthier I am on any kind of a basis. So that's one reason why we do this. The other thing is people say, well, you know, God doesn't need money. Well, that's true. He doesn't, you know. God could change a car tire without a jack, without a wrench. You know, he could do that. But I doubt any of us could. Okay, if you can, let me know. We'll put you on TV. I'll make a lot of money on that, okay? All right. But the bottom line is that this is a tool. Jesus taught about financials a lot. He did. His miracles recorded is mostly healings we record, but he talked a lot about financials because he knew this is where it was going to be. They say in Revelation, the book says in Revelation, that you're not going to be able to buy or sell. So you're going to have to know how to handle things in a way that does that. We're going to have to know because that's money's how they put pressure on people today. And without money causes stress. Well, people under stress often have physical challenges too. How many marriages have been broken up because of the stress of financial things? So we're going through this because one, I want you to be financially okay for the end times coming and be ready for it. Two, to make your lives better. Three, that you can be a blessing to other people. I say this often because it bears repeating. The Good Samaritan couldn't have been the Good Samaritan if you didn't have the money to be the Good Samaritan. How many times have you seen something that you say, I wish I could help that person or help that cause, but you're so challenged financially? So this is why we're doing this. Now, we do talk about tithing and offerings, and that's great. Don't misunderstand me. But this is more about getting into the Word of God, because if you know the Word of God, understand the Word of God, believe the power of the Word of God, you can be financially successfully free. Okay? And when you're financially successful, you've got a lot of options. If you don't like the job you're at, you don't have to go in. Okay? But you do this by doing what God tells you to do. So we're going to start off here. We're going to get deeper into this prophetic message about prophetic encouragement. Okay? We do a lot of affirmations. If those of you who have been through our healing schools and schools, you know that we believe speaking the Word of God brings results. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. God spoke into existence everything. He spoke the earth into existence. Most of you heard the phrase, let there be light, and light was. Okay, he speaks things into existence. Now, if we have God inside of us, we speak things into us, into existence too, using the Word of God. That is our tool. Okay, so let's go back here, and you'll see on your part A, affirm encouraging prophetic messages that God gave Pastor James, which is me. Okay, now these are words that I've gotten over the course of the last year or so to bless people in our Awake 633 time, but also applies to everybody here at ABC, because I've been senior pastor of ABC now for coming up on 3 years in June, and whatever we do is connected. Okay? So let's start by affirming this. Repeat after me, please. Thank you, God.
For I am forgiving us
the wisdom of Solomon.
We believe in your word.
We are courageous
and not afraid.
We will not let fear
stop our anointing.
We are as strong as the word of God
that resides in us.
The enemy strongholds
have come crashing down
just like Jericho.
The enemy is afraid of us
because we are submitted to God.
As it says
in James 4:7,
we are empowered.
I am makes the impossible
possible
for all of us.
We believe
that what is naturally
impossible for us
has already been made
possible
by God.
Now
is the time
for the transfer of wealth
to come to us
in the name of Jesus.
Now repeat that last line. I'm going to change a little bit.
Now
is the time
for the transfer of wealth
to come
to
me
in the name of
Jesus.
All
right, let's analyze this for a second here.
Wisdom
is the most valuable thing in the world.
An idea,
a concept,
something that God
gives you
can produce
huge
results.
And it
can produce it
quickly.
Now, as you know,
I'm a sports fan.
And when
Andre Agassi
came up against Boris
Becker,
Boris had this
huge
serve.
It was so
powerful,
almost nobody
could return it.
But Andre
Agassi noticed
something.
When Boris
Becker's serve
was going down the middle,
he stuck his tongue
out in the middle of his mouth.
When it was going
down the side, he
stuck it out the side
of his mouth.
That little
notice.
So when he saw
the tongue go out of his mouth,
he was already
shifting in
position.
And Andre
Agassi
beat
the great
Boris Becker.
Now
my question to you is
this.
How many
other tennis players came up
against Boris Becker? We
don't even know who their names are
today.
Because they got
beat.
But that
one little bit
of wisdom.
I don't know if
Andre's a Christian
or not.
But
wisdom
is unbridled.
But
that one little bit
of wisdom,
he is now
in the Tennis
Hall of Fame.
He was number one
for like 100 plus
weeks or something.
Because
he could beat
that champion.
Here's
my point.
It's not
always the big idea.
It's
a small idea
done right.
Listen
to the Lord. This is
why we talk about going
to your private place,
turn off all
the computers and all
the phones,
especially the phones,
you know,
and just spend
time listening to the
Lord.
As you do that
throughout the course of the day,
you will see something
that improves
something.
Okay?
You know those
big taillights on the
back of the
SUVs,
they're up high.
A Christian
got that idea because he
almost hit the back of a
car one time.
He says, wow,
why don't we put
lights up high on it?
He made
millions on that.
Okay?
An idea.
So,
let's go to the next
one, number two.
In the name of Jesus,
we see ourselves
as God sees us.
As we think
in our hearts.
So are we.
According to Proverbs
23:7,
we are mighty warriors
of valor
with great courage
in the face of danger
especially in
spiritual battles.
We have gallant bravery
strength
and valor.
We want to be used
by God
to do spiritually
mighty feats
For him. We embrace our challenges. And run towards the victory that God, the I Am, has given us. So if you're at home, I'm going to encourage you to keep repeating with us as we do these things. As you speak this out, you will feel empowered. You will feel the anointing of the Lord coming up on you. It's like going to the gym and doing the exercises. Or going to the gym and just watching somebody else exercise. Which is better? Okay? If you're not doing your exercise, it's not going to matter at all. I can coach somebody as much as I want to. If they don't get on the gym and do their things, it does not matter at all. Okay? Now, God's given us a very special power. Jesus decreed it. We have power to trample on the enemy. He's under our feet. We need to grow ourselves in spiritual strength to where that happens instantaneously. We will have victory upon victory because we realize God has given it to us. Now, some people say, well, that's just vain repetitions. Well, let's look at that. The word vain is a very interesting word. It means useless. And the Word of God is not useless. Okay? It means prideful. And the Word of God is not prideful. But the Word of God works. Now, I'm not saying a bunch of things that the Buddhists say and things like that. That's vain repetitions. This is the Word of God. Nobody go to the gym and say, if I do one exercise, I'm going to get stronger. They go and do repetitions of exercises. This is what you're doing. This will build up inside of you something special. And the more you do this, the more you know this. Now, when I was in school, I was very good at math. I didn't have to work much at math. But I had to work a lot on English. How did I get better English? I worked and worked and worked on the things I needed to work on. I had to do repetition on it. This is how you develop it. Anybody who's ever played the piano or an instrument of some kind, unless you're a natural virtuoso, you have to work and work and work on it. And by the way, the ones who are naturally that great, they even work harder because they just have something inside them. So my point is this thing here. We're going to do these words. We're going to do them together as a team. As we do them as the other team, where two or more agree, it shall be done. You're going to feel a synergy coming in. And let's go for it. Number three, affirm in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We walk in our authority.
We walk in our authority.
And power for our God.
I am.
Has given us. The go.
As we take
dominion. As we take dominion. We fear not.
For our God,
I am,
has given us a dream
that is not too large.
I am is with us.
And our victorious example
will lead many people
to Him. As we have victories, people are going to notice. I said this before. It's much easier to talk to them about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you're living a victorious lifestyle. When they come to you and they ask you for help, it's easy. Now, I was in a business office a while back, and everybody knew that I was a pastor there. And when they walked in my office and closed the door behind me, I knew they wanted to talk about something spiritual. But because they knew where I stood, they came to me. There was a big business challenge one time, and I prayed, and I asked the prayer team to pray with me. We had a great victory over it. And one of the guys walked up to me and says, you prayed for us, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. He let everybody know that we prayed for him, for his situation. That is one of the things we're going to be doing here. You're going to have victory upon victory upon victory, okay? All right, number four. Repeat after me, please. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
For giving us a season.
For giving us a
season. Of preparation.
We will continue.
To move to a higher level.
To move to a
of understanding, which gives us a stronger anointing. We have been prepared for such a time as this, and we are ready. We must still do our part. Remember that I am is with us, just as when David fought Goliath, because we have faith in God. All right, praise the Lord. Number five. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you, God, I am, gives us all the prosperity the devil took from us. Just like when Jacob was given the prosperity taken by Laban. We will continue seeking God with ardent zeal and intense effort, as it says in Romans 12:11, with spiritual fervor. We will continue serving you, Lord. Now, the Jacob-Laban story is one example of a transfer of wealth. Most of the story, I'm going to give the nutshell version. Jacob went to work for Laban, his uncle, who then cheated him, cut his salary, I think it was 10 times. And he worked for him for 20 years. The Lord finally told Jacob, ask for the spotted and speckled sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep herding, you want the pure white sheep. They're the ones that are the most profitable to do. Their dye's easy to, the wool is easy to dye, and that's the easy way to, you know, anytime pulling things out of something. The spotted and speckled sheep were usually weaker sheep, okay? So Jacob goes later and says, just give me the weakest of the worst as my salary. No problem. And then God told Jacob how to make all of them spotted and speckled. Suddenly, everything was his. And Laban couldn't argue about it because they all had the spots and speckles on them. Now, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but as I read between the lines a little bit, I personally believe that those sheep, blessed by God, were extremely strong and healthy, and that they had so much profitable wool that was even better than what they could ever expense. But if you look at the story as it goes forward to when Jacob meets Elijah, and he cuts out thousands and thousands and thousands of animals, it shows just how wealthy and profitable he was by this transfer of wealth. But the point is, Jacob had to do what he was told to do. Too many Christians just expect the transfer of wealth to show up in their bank account. Boom! I'm a billionaire. I don't think it's going to be that way. And if you're not ready to handle the money, he's not going to give it to you. God's not going to bless somebody who's going to send you down the wrong way. And some people who get money will suddenly get into drugs and do other things they're not supposed to be doing and so forth like that. You see that all the time with some of the athletes and things like that. They're not ready for their windfall. But our goal here is to make us ready to receive. And as you hear the voice of God, know exactly what to do with it. Okay? All right, let's go to number six, please. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus, God has prepared us for such a time as this. For I am, has seen our diligence. Number seven. In the name of Jesus, unlike lazy hands of poverty, our diligent hands bring us wealth, according to Proverbs 10:4. Number eight, in the name of Jesus, we will not be hasty like those in poverty, and our plans as the diligent will surely lead to abundance. Therefore, I will run with those godly plans. Now, diligence is where you do what you're supposed to do all the time. You must continuously do what you're going to do. Let's use the gym analogy. So you go to the gym one time, has a great workout, that's fine. You're not going to get healthy. You're not going to really get in shape. You got to go back day after day after day and work on it. The ballet dancer works day after day to perform their art. They're diligent at doing what they need to do. There are certain things God is going to tell you to do. You must diligently do them. Now, if something happens and a day comes up where it doesn't get done, you ask forgiveness and go on. But you don't let that become the habit. The habit is doing what you diligently need to do. And whatever it is, God is noticing. Okay? All right, number 9. Repeat after me, please. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For blessing us.
With a special impartation.
To receive all.
All.
That our God.
I am.
Has for us,
including
the transfer of wealth.
God says,
we are ready, and we have everything,
we need to start.
I am,
will give us more,
as we grow. So you have what you need to start. Too many people spend too much time trying to get everything together. Start. Number 10. The enemy has been lying to a lot of us. I want you to say this with all earnesty. Repeat after me, please. I am. I'm going to change this a little bit. Follow me. Says, I am. Worthy. So I cast off. Any lies. The enemy has been telling me. That I do not deserve. To receive his. Being God's. Blessings. It is time. For the fruit of the harvest. Of all the seeds
of
prayers
and love offerings
I have sown
in faith
to come into fruition. Now that declaration was made on March 20th. He declared to us that that's a change in the spirit and a new season for the body of Christ. We cannot go forward looking back at our mistakes of the past. They're done. They've been forgiven. As we come upon the time we honor the crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus forgave you 2,000 years ago. Whatever mistakes you've made, whatever wrong things have been done, you've been forgiven. But you must receive it and go forward because you're a purified, clean vessel. Right now, as soon as you say, I repent for this, you're forgiven. And if it's been bothering you on your mind, repent for thinking about it and receive your forgiveness for thinking about it. And let's go forward starting today. Pushing on toward your victory. Okay, number 11. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus. According to Psalm 56, 8-10.
Thank you, God,
that you have stored
our many tears
in your bottle.
Not one will be lost,
for they are all recorded in your book of remembrance.
The very moment
we call to you,
Heavenly Father,
for help.
The tide of the battle
turns
and our enemies flee.
You, God, are on our side.
We trust in you,
Lord, and we praise you. And we trust in the Word of God. There was a very successful businessman. He's taking one of his top executives out for dinner, and the executive brought his wife with him. As they're going to the restaurant, the executive opened the door, and the businessman looked down and saw a penny. He picked it up, and he looked at that penny for 4 or 5 minutes. Just look at this penny. And he put it in his pocket and went inside the restaurant. And as the conversation went on about business and things, the businessman asked the executive and his wife, "Do you have any questions for me?" And I said, "Just one. What was so important about that penny?" He says, "Oh, I didn't remember I did that anymore." He says, "Many years ago when I was challenged, I was taking a walk and I picked up the penny on the ground. And the word said, 'In God we trust.' I heard the Lord say, 'Do you?' But do I what? Do you trust me?" At that point, he decided to trust God with everything. We put our trust in God, and we must trust him. I don't care what it looks like in the natural, what it sounds like. We are trusting God right now. He's going to lead us and guide us in everything. Okay. Let's do number 12. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God says, go forward with joy.
Without tears,
because Jesus himself
has
reached into
the cockles of our hearts
and pulled out all pain
and regrets.
Now, cockles are the cores of one's being, your deepest feelings. So when that devil tries to challenge you, Jesus has already taken care of it for you. Okay? Now today we're going to dig deeper into how to receive God's prophetic encouragement to overcome and get victory. Now, if you look back through history of the Bible, almost every time there was a great change, there was a transfer of wealth. The story of Joseph in Egypt, transfer of wealth. The story of Jacob already talked about, transfer of wealth. Abraham had all the cattle on a thousand hills. He had gold and silver, was very wealthy. Solomon, the richest man of all, estimated today at $2.5 trillion is what his wealth was worth. These people were able to do things. Now, Warren Buffett, when he was a teenager, couldn't even drive yet. He had a friend very good at fixing pinball machines. And they'd buy these old pinball machines and put them up in the barber shops and split the money 50-50 with the barber. The point is that while the guys were playing baseball and football, and I've got nothing against sports, don't misunderstand me, I love them, he was learning how to make money. Now, who can impact the world more today? Warren Buffett? All those other guys who weren't doing something like that. I don't know if Warren Buffett saved or not. I don't know that. But I know he has a lot of clout. And when he picks up the phone, world leaders listen. So this is my point. God is telling us here at ABC to be a leader in taking dominion right now. Before the end times come, we're going to be leaders taking dominion. We're going to use the abilities to do business and to make financial decisions and help people and bless people to take dominion. We're not going to use guns. We're not going to use ammo. We're not going to war. We're going to spiritual battle for it. But as we take a hold of things and the Lord leads us in things, there is nothing we cannot do. And if God has given you a plan and you put it on the back shelf, today is the day to pull it out. Today is the day to pull it out and start praying over it. Don't worry about every detail right now. What is it? What is it God wants you to do? And listen for him to tell you what to do. Okay. Now, we go through some examples of the results of prophetic message and encouragement from God. Chronicles 20, 15 to 16. A prophetic word from God told them to wake up and go. And God said, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Okay. Remember, God is fighting your battles as long as you do what he tells you to do. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Okay. Now stand still. Still in Hebrew means the king, Jehoshaphat, and his army needed to stop and rest in the Lord and not plan on doing any fighting. But they still had to go out and stand. They weren't sitting back in their houses letting God just do this. They went out and did that. And Jehoshaphat put the praisers in front of his army, saying praises to God, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love and mercy endures forever. What did God tell him to do? Go out there and stand, send your praises out. What is God telling you to do? It may seem totally ridiculous, like noticing somebody's tongue in a tennis match. But whatever God tells you to do, he knows something. He's going to lead you to your victory. Now, in this case, he told Jehoshaphat to go out there and stand. They had to go do their part. They had to go stand. The praisers went out and sang the song. The other three tribes destroyed themselves. And Jehoshaphat's army didn't have to throw an arrow or a spear or draw a sword. They didn't have to spend 3 days picking up all the plunder, but that's okay. That's counting their spoils and quantifying their victory. All right, so 2 Chronicles 20, 22-26. Going back over the story, it said, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated, self-slaughtered. Your enemies are going to self-slaughter themselves. I'm not looking for any blood carnage here, but your enemies will have challenges going up against you, okay? They carried off their plunder. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it, okay? So, when the Hebrews praise God, it sent confusion into the enemy's camp. They were so confused that they killed each other and everyone died. God defeated them with confusion, just like he defeated others with confusion. Now, the important Tower of Babel was the people got confused and couldn't speak to each other. Okay? In Exodus 14, 24, 25. But early in the morning, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud. He threw them into confusion. Their chariot wheels began to come off, making their chariots impossible to drive. Let's get out of here, the Egyptians shouted. Lord is fighting for Israel against us. They knew God was fighting for Israel. They wanted nothing to do with it. Okay. Genesis 11:4. Going back to the Tower of Babel. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Deuteronomy 7:23. Moses spoke about the victory the Lord would grant the Israelites over the enemies if they obeyed him. But he said, but the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will throw them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. He, God, will put their kings in your power. If you'll erase their names from the face of the earth, no one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. Now, in World War II, The United States had broken the codes of both the Germans and the Japanese. And they skillfully used that, especially against the Japanese. And they were so confused and challenged. They were dismayed. They were demoralized. They couldn't believe what was happening to them. We knew things. We used mechanical decoders. So when a message went out, the Japanese officers would use the decoding books. We had it done mechanically. We actually knew the answer before the Japanese did. So we were actually countering their plans before the Japanese knew what their plans were to do. That confusion saved the lives of many, many U.S. soldiers. Now, the other day we celebrated the 80th anniversary of the ending of the Battle of Iwo Jima. Hard-fought battle. They still fought hard. The devil is defeated. Just like Japan was basically defeated after the Battle of Midway. But they didn't give up fighting. The devil's not giving up fighting. He's still going to try to bring you down. The bottom line is that if we keep our ear tuned and we hear God who tells us what to do, we'll believe in more effect than the Allies were in World War II. Okay. Now, do not let confusion your life by staying free of envy, self-seeking strife, and every evil thing. Okay. If you open your Bible, read James 3:16-17. The New King James Version says, "For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there, but the wisdom that is from the first pure, then preachable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." Okay. Wisdom will lead you everywhere you need to go. It'll protect you. It'll show you ways to make profit. Show how to communicate with your people who are challenging to you. Lead you with everything you need to go. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20:27-28. King Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully, for the Lord supernaturally defeated three enemy armies. That would be a joyous day. And I want you to go out here, enjoy that your enemies have already been defeated. Now, your enemies are spiritual enemies now. They're Satan. There's demons, devils, and evil spirits. They are defeated. As you take your authority, as you take your control, as you take your dominion, you are victorious. Okay? The fear of God came upon the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. Now, think about this for a second. When you have victory upon victory upon victory, the enemies are going to notice that. And they're not going to want to come up against you anymore. You will have these victories. They're starting now. There has been a change in the spirit over every person who attends ABC. Or watches this on the video. There is a change right now because you are feeling in your spirit the strength that you need and the confidence that you need that when that ugly system raises its ugly head, you know that your God has an answer, for there is nothing they can do that your God does not know how to get around. You have artificial intelligence. We have godly intelligence. Which is better? Godly intelligence, right? God knows more than any artificial intelligence ever could. I don't care what they program their computers. I don't care how great they are. There's nothing they can do to outsmart our God. And if you're attuned to Him and you hear His instructions, there's nothing they can do against you either. Okay? Now, one thing I tell people a lot to do is to start praising God when they don't know what to do. Just praise Him. Of course, I talked about Jehoshaphat, one of my favorite stories of the Bible. The other one was Paul and Silas. Acts 16:25-26. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly here was a great earthquake. At the very foundation, the prison was shaken, and at once all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Now here's the key. The other prisoners were watching them. Other people are watching you. When you sing and praise God, and you are set free from your challenge, they're going to know what's going on. Now, earthquakes don't normally release shackles. Okay? Chains on somebody's wrist and feet, they just move with a shake, right? Those of you in California know what an earthquake's all about. Okay? But the shackles will release. As they praise, everything, they were set completely and totally free. As you were set completely and totally free from your challenges, and your friends and family notice, they're going to come to you. And this is your opportunity to lead them to the Lord. And by the way, you're welcome to invite them to ABC. Let us know. We'll send an invitation link to them. We're here for them too. Your victory. It's like a lighthouse or the shore by the ocean. It can be seen for miles and miles and miles away. And everybody who sees that lighthouse knows what it is. Everybody who sees your victory will know your victory. Now, a lot of you are facing physical challenges. Okay? When you are instantaneously healed, or if your healing takes several months, they'll see that you are healed. They will notice that. But you're having financial challenges. When they see that your bills are paid off, you're driving a new car that's free and clear, they will notice that. Whatever problems you're having, somebody knows about it. Maybe it's a parent with a child problem. When that reconciliation shows up, the other members of the family will notice that. And they'll be drawn to what the answer is. All right? So, we're going to perfect our praise and stop the avenger to get your victory. So, I'm asking you to affirm this last affirmation with me together. We'll do it 20 times. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Everybody ready? Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. Last one. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and love endure forever. So we'll close in prayer now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, we worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you that people today have received this message to take their authority right now and take their dominion over every challenge, and that they use the word of God for victory, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the enemies and principalities of the air. And we thank you, Lord, for complete and total victory that people can quantify and can show, be it their healing, be it they can do something physically they didn't do before, or huge financial breakthroughs, or whatever it is, to be an example to people around them, to draw more people to you, and prayerfully more people to ABC. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise God. So we're going to do communion now. If you have the elements, fantastic. Now we can do it by faith. Praise the Lord. So first of all, repeat after me. If you don't have any sins, confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. So 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We remember what you, Jesus, did for us. We're reminded of the great price that you paid for us at the cross. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded Jesus paid the ultimate price for each of us. We thank you, God, for your plan that redeemed us so we can be with you forever. We also remember that we are not our own, but we've been bought with a great price that Jesus paid for you and for me. So repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you that Jesus himself.
We thank you that Jesus himself.
Bore our sins.
Bore our sins.
In his own body.
In his own body.
On the tree.
On the tree.
And that we.
And that we.
Having died to sins.
Having died to sins.
Might live for righteousness.
Might live for righteousness.
By whose stripes.
By whose stripes.
We were healed.
We were healed.
And I receive.
And I receive.
Healing.
Healing.
For every part of my body.
For every part of my body.
Let's take this body in remembrance of Jesus now.
We agree and receive Jesus. First Corinthians 11:25-26 says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We remember that cup of blessing that was poured out on the cross at Calvary when Jesus died for you and me. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. It was payment to redeem us eternally. And you made a way for us to be part of your heavenly family. Can you please repeat this prayer with me? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can partake.
That we can partake.
Of the blood of Jesus.
Of the blood of Jesus.
That was the payment.
That was the payment.
For our redemption.
For our redemption.
We agree and receive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, these are our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Praise God.